Now for the Border News Roundup Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, the editor and the publisher of The Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Morning, Marshall. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's talk about the news concerning PolyMet. What is new there? There was a decision made.
Right. The state Supreme Court ended up on Wednesday reversed a lower court ruling that had been issued by the Court of Appeals last year. And the Court of Appeals at that time had sent PolyMet's air emissions permit back to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency for further review. And they wanted them to consider new information, which was a technical report that had been issued that suggested that the plant or the facility or mine would be more profitable as a much larger operation than what the was being anticipated under the permit that the MPCA was issuing. And a number of environmental groups, as well as the Fond du Lac Band, had opposed that and suggested that that PolyMet was involved in or engaged in what's called sham permitting, which is when a company proposes or seeks a permit for something that's much smaller than what they actually intend to build, and then they get an amendment done afterwards. But a lot of times those amendments are a little bit easier to get than the original permit for something larger. And so that was the concern here. The Court of Appeals had agreed with the environmental groups and the Fond du Lac Band, but on further review, the Supreme Court said no. They said the MPCA wasn't required to investigate that issue, and they said that you know, if a company is engaged in sham permitting, that's something that the Federal Environmental Protection Agency has the authority to investigate and possibly seek you know, penalties against the company if something like that does happen. And so basically they said the MPCA did not have an obligation to investigate it. Therefore, the permit that they issued, the air emissions permit, is still valid. Now, I should say the court did also, though, refer one matter back to the Court of Appeals because one issue that the environmental groups had raised originally was they said that the that PolyMet wasn't being wholly truthful in some of the information that it submitted for its permit. And the Court of Appeals never really addressed that issue. And so the Supreme Court said, take a look at this. And so it will go back to the Court of Appeals now, and they'll have to review that particular point which was raised. And I guess we'll have a decision on that probably sometime in the next 6 months to a year. This was clearly a victory at this point for PolyMet. But, of course, the company still faces a fairly long list of different court cases that are percolating mostly through state courts, but also at least one in federal court. So it's going to be a while before all the legal morass is cleared away here, if it is. So it's certainly been interesting to follow.
Let's move on to a story that sounds a little bit like Texas. The city of Winton's been having some tough times.
Yes, they have. And I don't know how many folks know where Winton is. It's actually, you know, Ely likes to call itself the end of the road, but it's not really. The end of the road is at Winton, and that's about 4 miles east of Ely. And it's a very small town, about 170 residents, at least that's what they claim on the sign. They've had nothing but problems since that cold snap we had here a week or so ago. And it's been so cold that their water tower actually froze up for a time. And they've had a number of water main breaks. It's just been one right after another. In fact, their whole main drag in Winton has been dug up for several days due to all these breaks. And it seems like they get one fixed and then there's another one that, you know, happens. And so it's been a real effort to try to keep water flowing there. And residents have been without any water for a number of days. And even now that the water is restored, thanks to this warmer weather, residents are still required to boil their water until the entire system is fully chlorinated and flushed out. And then it has to be inspected by the Department of Health before it's going to be fully safe to drink the water. So, yeah, a little bit like Texas. But normally up here we can handle that. But I think, you know, part, it was the combination of very limited snow cover this year and that very intense and extended cold snap that just pushed that frost down too far. And Winton's not the only place. You know, we've been dealing with water main breaks in Tower, and Ely's been dealing with frozen water lines and whatnot. So it's been a little bit challenging. And unfortunately, it's probably going to be with us for a while, even with the warmer weather. You know, that frost is going to be down there really until the ice goes off the lakes. So
right. I won't make you try to predict when that will happen yet. We'll wait a couple weeks.
No, it's a little early yet.
Yes. Well, let's move on to the Ore Bog Walk. That is a special place for you personally, isn't it?
Well, it is actually. Back in 1990, I actually was hired by the city to design that that boardwalk. It's about a half mile long boardwalk. It goes through a number of different wetland types. You know, so it's a neat area. It's right at their visitor center, which is now their city hall, and it goes all along the Pelican River there, right along the shore of Pelican Lake. And it's a neat thing. It's attracted a lot of folks over the years. It's always been popular in Ore, but it's 30 years old, and it's been increasingly in rough shape in the last few years. And so they finally decided that they wanted to replace it, but of course then it was a question of, you know, how much is it going to cost and where's the money going to come from? And they've been very successful in getting grants for that. And it turns out it's a good thing they did get grants, because the price tag on this thing has jumped dramatically. I think we spent $55,000 to build it back in 1990. And the low bid they received this week was $421,000. So, yeah, prices have jumped a little bit since 1990. It's a little bit more, in fact, than what they had anticipated, and they don't. They need to raise about another $29,000 to cover their budget gap on this, because they had hoped the bids would come in a little lower. But the council decided they're going to go ahead anyway, and they'll find the money one way or another. So I think it's a popular enough thing in Ore that they decided it was definitely worth doing regardless. I know the council was also quite pleased with the bid that came in, the low bid, because the company has indicated they plan to use local materials. There is a lumber and hardware store in Ore, which they plan to purchase most of their supplies there. And also a lot of the construction will be done right in Ore. It's generally they're going to be constructing it in 10-foot sections. And a lot of times they would just truck those in, but they're going to do it right there in Ore. And so that'll, you know, have a little bit more work right there in town. And they figure they're going to have about 6 workers staying in town for about 5 weeks during the construction. So. But, yeah, one of the things that had an impact were the lumber prices, which have been really volatile in recent months, really since COVID. And that's been part of the problem. I think that's what pushed the quotes up on this quite a bit.
Okay. Before we go, fill us in on another story on Brighting Township Police Chief. Now that I say that out loud, do townships usually have police chiefs?
No, they typically don't. But, you know, there are a few around, but most of them in most cases will, you know, maybe contract for police coverage from a nearby city, if that's a possibility. Or in most cases, they're simply covered by their county sheriff's office. And that's certainly the case in most of St. Louis County. But Brighting Township, for whatever reason, has had its own police department for several decades now. And, you know, they contract with the city of Tower, actually. So they provide, the township provides police protection in the city. And, you know, we've had some discussions about that in recent months, because it's a big bill. I mean, about a third of Tower's levy goes to pay for that police contract. And it's a, you know, it's an expensive proposition in Brighting Township as well. You know, I think now we've had the announced resignation of the police chief. A few weeks earlier, we had the resignation of their chief lieutenant, and now they just, I think, have a couple of part-time officers there. Right now the township is wondering, do we want to try to keep this going, or maybe this is a time to look at some other options? And so they are going to be having a meeting next week with the city of Tower to discuss how they move forward here with PD.
That's Marshall Helmberger. You can read and see more stories and learn how to subscribe to the Timber Jay at their website. It's timberjay.com. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Marshall.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.